Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Message Program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Erev Tov, shalom to all, and may God carry you in the palm of his hand as we anxiously await his return. Let us pray.
Abba, Father, we praise you during hard times as well as the good times, knowing victory and vindication is on the way. May we never complain nor receive your grace in vain, for your mercies endure forever. Empower us with your Holy Spirit for more courage to remain a truth teller in all circumstances, planting your seed and also watering as the great harvest is nearing. We lift up to you our recent prayer requests and for the salvation of all our loved ones. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, what's first, Papa Joe or Bennett?
Well, let's start with President Biden, who is an embarrassment to America.
Yes, he is.
Without going into too much detail, because most listeners already know what we are talking about, but we're not really sure what was said in his private meeting with Putin, Biden decided for the first time in history not to hold a dual press conference afterward. Therefore, each president could spin whatever he wanted to, and so they did. Biden did tell us, he told Putin, he better not hack certain 16 critical infrastructure sectors.
Yeah, which really gave our enemies a target list.
Yes, and as well, what about those not on the list? Is it okay to hack them?
Well, apparently so.
Anyhow, President Biden was very welcomed into the G7 European club.
Maybe he's even their favorite.
Sure, after all, Biden did give up our American tax sovereignty, which now allows the Europeans to impose big tax hikes on American companies.
Which, again, will cost us a lot of jobs.
As he continues to decimate our energy independence by rejoining the Paris Agreement.
And canceling our pipelines.
While allowing Russia's Nord Stream 2 to continue. And there's so much more. Have you heard about Biden's political manual?
You mean the one on countering domestic terrorism?
Yes, domestic. That means right here, which will target anyone not agreeing with the left's agenda.
Well, you know, that's what it's all coming down to.
And some cities still want to defund and even disarm the local police, so they'll quit. And then they can bring in the federal police, and that's already been suggested. More government rule targeting white nationalists like ourselves, who they say are inherently racist.
Well, to further divide us.
Yes, people against people.
Sounds like Matthew 24/7.
Mm-hmm. We also now have more confirmation on just how corrupt our government is.
As in the FBI?
Yes. Was it an undercover federal agent that shot an unarmed Ashley Babbitt at the Capitol on January 6th?
Well, many think so.
And Tucker Carlson had pretty good evidence of that last week. Also, why are all those January 6th protesters still in prison, some in solitary confinement, just on trespassing charges?
Well, no court, no bail.
Right. Oh, but not the many Biden supporters who rioted and torched federal buildings last summer and are walking free. You know, you might expect unfair confinement happening in Russia, which is a dictatorship.
Yeah, right. Not supposed to happen here.
Well, the roots are sprouting and growing leaves. And why is the administration still holding more than 10,000 hours of surveillance tape from that day? They could easily release them.
Yeah, but they're not.
Obviously, because they're too identifying. Much of Tucker's commentary was based on a report by Revolver.com, which says that the insurrection was orchestrated by FBI plants who gave misinformation to some protesters in order to stir them up to storm the Capitol building, and that some Capitol police were aware and unlock the doors.
Well, yeah, so they just welcomed them in.
Yes, as seen in some of the videos that were released. The news report also refers to the 20 unindicted, as in not charged, co-conspirators mentioned in government court filings.
Well, that's a telltale sign right there.
That's right. Likely they are the undercover FBI agents whose identities are being hidden, concluding they participated in the riots, sometimes violently.
We'll have a further report in our next newsletter.
Yes, and that should go out on Monday. I do think it quite interesting that not only does America have a new government, so does Israel, and now Iran, who just voted in the evil Ibrahim Raisi, well known by Israel as the Hangman of Tehran, who is now Iran's new president as of August.
Most likely a fixed election.
Oh, no doubt, as he was always the Ayatollah's pick. Raisi already has U.S. sanctions on him for a series of human rights abuses.
A perfect figure to help fulfill Bible prophecy.
And that's why we talk about it, Ezekiel 38. All this is going on as the United States continues to monitor Iran's warships in the Atlantic.
Once thought to be heading to Venezuela.
But now they've changed course since the United States threatened the Western Hemisphere not to accept them at port.
Now, heading towards the Mediterranean.
And still carrying oil, weapons, and some what they call fast attack boats.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so how's Bennett doing as Israel's new prime minister?
Well, initially the new government had to deal with some balloon attacks from Gaza after a month's ceasefire.
Israel did strike back.
Oh, yeah. And then Bennett also wrote, and I quote, he says, "Our patience has run out. We shall no longer tolerate drip-dropping attacks from the Gaza Strip. So, to get used to a different kind of operational initiative, our enemies had better learn the new rules."
And now it has stopped.
It has, and Israel is now allowing businesses in Gaza to once again export limited amounts of its farm products.
Meanwhile, the chief of Israel's defense force is in Washington this week.
Yes, Aviv Kohavi, with a tall order of overcoming policy differences with the Biden administration on Iran. However, his mission was further complicated by Israel's leftist Foreign Minister Lapid. Now, he's the one who's going to take over premiership in 2 years, who assured our Secretary of State Blinken that Israel would not give the Americans any surprise of any action taken to Iran, promising quiet dialogue beforehand.
Guess what? That's stupid.
I agree. Because without a doubt, someone would leak that info to warn Iran as a good gesture to further an Iran deal.
Iran must be pleased.
And Biden is not giving in to Israel's request to not rejoin the nuclear deal.
And does Genesis 12:3 come to mind?
Should we even discuss the horrific so-called infrastructure bill?
Maybe just a little.
Well, it's not just about infrastructure. It's rather a power grab by the Democratic Party to affect every area of our lives with massive spending that covers items not traditionally viewed as infrastructure, and also includes changing our voter laws. Anyhow, Congress didn't get very far today, but I'll tell you, if they eventually get this through using reconciliation, we will be in even deeper doo-doo.
Just a quick note on the shots.
Okay, well, there's still many unreported adverse reactions, but on and on it goes anyway. Thank God some governors are fighting back, at least on the so-called vaccine passports. So-called because they're not vaccines, but rather a gene-altering manipulated bioweapon for depopulation, as it hijacks your cells that sooner or later will turn the body against itself.
You know, people should have the freedom to choose.
Keywords there?
Should have.
Mm-hmm. We must say it again, though, over and over, and most of us have this memorized and should, because it is so fitting for today.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.
Proverbs 3.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. If you have a question or comment, there are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office. And please be sure to leave a very detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And prayerfully consider tucking in a gift of love. You can also give on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which automatically adds your name to our mailing list for news updates and monthly teaching letters for your added learning.
Okay, we had a question come in last week concerning Mark 13, verses 19 and 20, asking if we could explain it, because some are using this verse to say the tribulation isn't actually 7 years. Honey, could you read that?
Okay. In those days there will be a tribulation. Such has not been seen since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days.
Okay, first off, the elect are the ones who get saved during the tribulation. Verse 19 gives us the context, it's during the tribulation. And verse 20 says, the Lord will shorten the days. So, he said days, not time or years. Often, when referring to day or night, they were talking of either the darkness of a 24-hour period or the daylight of a 24-hour period. And, supported by other scripture, we believe this to mean God will shorten the daylight hours because the sun will be extremely hot. So, therefore, longer periods of darkness, which is also analogous with spiritual darkness.
And otherwise, scripture would be contradicting other scriptures.
Right. As in Revelation and Daniel, that actually gives us the number of the days. And again, since scripture interprets scripture, we have a couple that confirms what we just said, starting with Amos 8 and 9.
And it shall come to pass in that day.
Oh, and remember the phrase "in that day" always refers to the last 1,000 years of time, beginning at the rapture, and then the darkness of the tribulation begins. Please continue in verse 9.
The Lord God says, I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight.
Okay, and Revelation 8:12 is where the New Testament confirms the Old Testament.
Then the fourth angel sounded, a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night.
Okay, there you have it. But to add a little more credence, we know by the end of the tribulation, as in Revelation 16, that the fourth bowl judgment is where men are scorched with great heat from the sun. Okay, we have another good question from Matthew 24 and again Mark 13, where Mark writes, at the end of the tribulation, the Son of Man will appear, but Matthew is more specific in that he adds, they'll see the sign of the Son of Man appear. Is the sign significant?
Of course, everything is significant.
Yes, and Matthew a few times gives more details, as he was a numbers man.
A tax collector.
Who counted every denarii.
Or pieces of silver.
Yeah. So details did matter to him. Anyhow, Matthew prefaces his return with a certain sign showing up right before they see Jesus, and they would recognize the sign because they were familiar with it from the Old Testament. Therefore, in my opinion, it's either the pillar of fire that their ancestors would have followed in the wilderness when they left Egypt, Exodus 13.
And also follow it above the tabernacle, chapter 33.
That's right. Or, as in Acts chapter 2, it might be fire in the shape of a sheen.
God's initial for Shaddai.
Right, it looks like a W with a dot on the right side for Jerusalem. And I say that because the sheen, again God's initial, was placed on every mezuzah and tefillin box strapped to their arm and hand.
So it will be fire in some shape.
Likely, especially since we see in Revelation 19, Jesus returns with fire in his eyes. And for sure, the people will be in awe of it as Yeshua breaks through the clouds. And don't forget, we'll be right behind him.
What a day that will be.
You think? All right, do we have time for that other one?
Yeah. This gentleman wants us to talk about Albert Pike.
Well, he's definitely not a Bible character, although a sure type of the Antichrist.
And we have brought him up a time or two before.
But it's been a while. Albert was a Harvard graduate, Jesuit trained, and held a 33rd degree rank in Freemasonry, which started in 1717, but was later, as Satan does, infiltrated with evil in 1776. Masonry in the beginning was a respected organization of mostly hard workers of masonry.
Yeah, but it went downhill.
Yeah, when it was infiltrated by the corrupt Illuminati leader, Adam Weishaupt, also a Jesuit and a professor of canon law. In fact, Mayor Rothschild tapped Weishaupt to head the Bavarian occult group. And after that integration, Freemasonry soon became very evil, both morally and politically.
Wasn't George Washington a member?
Yes, and much of our Capitol buildings, the landscapes, and even our money are Masonically inspired. But George had joined the Masons 20 years before Illuminati Weishaupt joined. And after that, George gradually stopped attending the meetings and actually died in 1799. But back to Albert, who was highly intelligent and had a fanatical obsession with satanic esotericism.
He joined the Freemasons in 1850.
Right, which by then, Freemasonry, especially higher than the third level, was definitely occultic. Albert founded the evil Ku Klux Klan and became good friends with fellow Mason Giuseppe Mazzini, who together spread the supremacist ideal of a new world order. Many historians are noting the fundamental and devastating role played by Freemasonry in the revolutions and wars of Europe.
Well, soon Pike was called the Pope of American Freemasonry.
And has gone down in history as well for his satanic veneration. So, very fitting to be called the 19th century devil as he was.
You know, he was also one of the most famous lawyers in the South.
Oh, yeah. He was said to have almost superhuman intellectual faculties, for he spoke and wrote in 16 languages and was obsessed with the idea of world supremacy and wrote about all that in his famous training book for Freemasons, Morals and Dogma. As a Mason of the 33rd degree and head of the Illuminati of Arkansas, he devised a plan to take control of the world through great revolutions and three world wars. After the election of Abraham Lincoln in 1860, Pike, through his Masonic hegemony, was among those who directed the insurrection of the South that led to the bloody United States Civil War. Odd that the left wanted to tear down historical statues, but never the one of evil Albert Pike. There's much written about him, But he did promise three world wars, and we know who spoke through the mouth of Jesuit Albert Pike. You know, Jesus says we are to occupy, even in the midst of all this gross immorality and uncertain turmoil. So let me remind you that the central theme in the New Testament book of Philippians is joy. Even though the Apostle Paul was writing it from a dark and dreary prison cell, he still said it was for good because he gave them the gospel. So keep that front and center in all times of difficulty. Can you shine through it all and give the gospel? Does your life during difficulties portray Jesus? Perhaps you feel joy is out of reach, a struggle that seems impossible. Well, take heed of who your real enemy is, and although his defeat is guaranteed, he isn't giving up without a fight to take us down. It's important to recognize that we're targets of his attack. And never lose sight of that knowledge. No matter what you are going through, no matter how dark it may seem, Christ is stronger because the light is always greater. Besides, how do we learn perseverance if not through challenges? He teaches us fortitude through difficulties. Both are like spiritual muscles that eventually you will thank God for. And bottom line, how will you live for Christ if you don't know how to persevere? You know, sadly, most churches in America have been preaching a sugar-coated, watered-down message, which is typical for this Laodicean age. Pastors want to be more of a motivational speaker rather than coaches. Honestly, we need both. Motivation, yes, but also conviction, and to expect tough times and the harassment of Christians leading to tyranny. We're hearing from people that are dealing with depression and feeling low and are ready to give up because it does get difficult. Again, life is challenging, but you can do this. And in fact, we can do all things through Christ, for he is the Word who strengthens us. You know that planet Earth is wrapping up. God's timeline for humanity has an actual, already set expiration date. And our merciful God has been very gracious to let us in on his purposes and plans by giving us his word. He authored a book all about him. We only need to study him because he's coming to town. And like any arriving author, you want to be able to say, "Hey, I read your book. And thanks for your autographed copy in blood." Oh, don't you just love him? Anyway, I hope that you all that are listening do have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart. And how well do you know him? Is he really personal to you? If not, you can start over. You can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for sins. Grab it right now, unless, of course, you prefer to pay the debt for sins yourself. It's always your choice, and somebody has to pay the debt. So again, if you're maybe listening and you just got one foot in the world, take the foot out. Put both feet forward and focus on Christ. Again, everything you do is your choice. Your choice to get saved and your choice to how close you want to be with him. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing as we always do. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That special shalom that only he can give us. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because we're going to be there soon. And those who love Jerusalem, well, you're going to prosper in many different ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. God bless. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.